Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crap! I almost forgot! Wait! Chaw! I was saving it for a good time!
What is it?
Big Chief! The best!
This is Dirt and Spray.
Hey, check this out. Lou Gehrig's pants. Not a bad fit. Hey, you don't think that nerve disease of his was contagious, do you? Better take him off. I'm too important to this team. Big Stein can't be flopping and twitching.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Spray.
Let's have a smell, all right? Ooh, wafting, wafting. Oh, everyone likes their own brand, don't they? This is magic.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Those goofy bastards are just about the best thing I've got going in this crazy world.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, as we are every single day. Good morning to everybody out there. Hope your Wednesdays are off to a great start. It is NBA draft day. We still have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. If you're watching the show on YouTube, thank you. Make sure you subscribe to our channel, like the video. If you haven't subscribed, go subscribe. It's great content. Every single day, there's great content up there. God. Joining us now.
He's feeding his children breakfast.
Is a man who tried to Wally Pitt me off of this show, and I said, not so fast.
He kept saying, what would it take for him not to come back?
What would it take for me to replace one Dirt Johnson? Well, not much, but thankfully it didn't happen, and I'm still employed. We love him nonetheless. He's the columnist at The Oregonian, currently feeding his kids breakfast, at Bill Oram on Twitter. Bill, good morning to you. How are you today?
I thought that I was probably not going to be invited back after they caught me trying to replace your name on the little mailbox in the staff room with my name. Just like I had the label printer out, and I just put Oram, comma, Bill, apostrophe, dirtier.
Yeah.
Apostrophe, like, didn't work.
Didn't quite pull off. It would be a great joke, but I don't even know if we have a mailroom anymore. We used to have a mailroom at our home building.
We did, yeah.
I think we lost the mailroom in the move. We don't even have one anymore. Well, first off, thanks for hopping on. Good morning to you. Let's get to 48 hours ago, man. Everybody thought this week, wow, what a big week, the draft. What is Portland going to do at 11? Where do they go? And then, boom, bombshell on Monday night. Anfernee Simons is traded to Boston. We've had varying takes all day, different people sharing different thoughts. You find out the news. What's the reaction from Bill Oram on Anfernee Simons finally being traded and going to Boston?
All right, I'm going to tell you guys this, and I haven't shared this yet, and it probably doesn't reflect that well on me, but I had a source call me on, what day was that trade?
Monday night.
Monday.
So I had a source call me on Monday at 6 o'clock from another team who said, hey, the Blazers are linked to Drew Holiday. What the hell is that? Is that possibly real? And I sat there for a second, and I said, I cannot in my head come up with an explanation for why the Blazers would be trying to trade for Drew Holiday. Let me do some legwork on this. So then I come home, I text somebody with the Blazers, and I say, hey, I've got something for you. And it takes them 10 minutes to get back to me. And in the 10 minutes it takes them to get back to me, I'm like, I'm getting set up. I don't know what it is exactly, but like somebody's trying to smoke out my sources. They've planted something. Like, I don't know what it is, but I'm not comfortable even checking this because it felt so far-fetched. So that was 7:30, 9 o'clock the trade happens. And I was absolutely, one, very angry at myself as a reporter, but two, needed some time to process it because it is not in line with how we view the Blazers moving in terms of, you know, going very young, trying to keep the books clean and financially flexible. You know, it does neither of those things. But I kind of think I like it. The more I think about it, the more I talk myself into it, because I do feel like Drew Holiday does several things that are good for the Blazers. You know, people want to kind of poo-poo the locker room component and the mentorship component. Look at that locker room. Who is the leader in there? Who is the veteran leader? Who has a presence? Who can help Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe and Denny Avdia and Tumani Kamara? You know, I don't think it's DeAndre Ayton. I don't think it's Jeremy Grant. You know, Malcolm Brogdon was huge in that capacity. And, you know, he's gone, obviously. So I think that's huge. I think the way he defends and, like, the way he can, you know, kind of team up with Tumani Kamara on the wing, awesome. I also would highlight, I don't think the Blazers lost anything in this deal. Anfernee Simons was done in Portland one way or another. If they had brought him back and tried to move him at the deadline or let him walk in free agency, this was over one way or another. By the way, Brandon, I think you owe me a beer for my 0%, by the way.
What do you mean 0%?
Send this man a Pelican.
What do you mean?
You said what percent do they you said that there was a percentage chance when I was in studio that they were going to extend Anfernee Simons to be like the future point guard of the Blazers, yeah. And I said 0%.
Look at Bill Orem.
He nailed it, and he had the
scoop on the trade before it even happened.
You're absolutely right.
It's not a scoop if you don't tell anybody about it. Let me tell you.
Well, can you get a post scoop scoop?
Yeah,
credit?
I give you post scoop credit.
You're telling us you had a scoop, but you didn't follow the scoop up.
And I don't blame it because if you would have texted me that, like a random text from Bill Orem, hey, Dirt, Drew Holiday, I would have said the same thing. This what? Huh? I don't see it. That makes sense.
The other thing I want to say about this trade, like Drew Holiday is a bad contract now. I don't know if it's a bad contract in a year or 2 years. And what it does for the Blazers is it preserves that salary slot with a player you don't mind having. Like, his contract lines up with Jeremy Grant. Jeremy Grant's contract stinks because you don't need Jeremy Grant. You don't want Jeremy Grant anymore. You like having Drew Holiday on your team. So, you know, you can ride out that contract because he is doing good things for you in-house and on the floor, even if he's on the downward slope of his career. And then, you know, in a year, 2 years, if you want to, you know, swing a trade for a high salary player, you have the money to match. You have a guy that other teams, you know, won't have to hold their noses to bring in for a year. So I think it's okay. I think that the positives outweigh the sort of things that I would have normally thought were stayaways in terms of the age and the money.
Do you like it?
Especially if the Blazers can find some way to do something with Jeremy Grant.
Yes.
But I mean, that still feels like a long shot to me. Go ahead.
Okay. So that was going to kind of be my follow up. Do you like this move? If this is largely it, like they're going to obviously draft somebody, we assume. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll make a trade and go get who did I hear this morning? I was listening to one of the like maybe they go get a role guy on a team that wants a pick and that's what they do. But assuming they just do their draft and they don't make another move, do you like the move then? Like, that has to change the math or the thought there, right?
Right. Totally. I mean, there's something sort of intriguing about this because it's happening before the draft and it's kind of like before the crazy season has really begun. You're kind of sitting there with that anticipation of like, oh, and what comes next? Like, I think that, you know, there is an element of we have to kind of let this play out. If they just make the pick and sort of, you know, that's it, and they say they're $6 million under the luxury tax. I mean, I think it's a little underwhelming, but I would say that it is, you know, I applaud doing something with Anfernee Simons. Like, bringing Anfernee Simons back for another year, to me, would have been just a big, what are we doing here sort of decision. He did not fit with the young backcourt, with Scoot and Shaedon. You know, he was on a different, you know, kind of career trajectory. He wanted, you know, to be the featured ball dominant guard. That obviously wasn't going to happen in Portland. It's not going to happen in Boston either. But in Boston, like, he's joining sort of an existing, you know, blueprint. And
we'll see if he's on Boston.
Exactly. And I would also say, I mean, this trade has happened so early. This whole thing, you know, we've seen trades that, you know, get agreed to early on in the trading period expand to three teams, four teams. You know, this framework could change too, just given the way NBA deals sort of expand at the end of the moratorium. So, I think that, you know, that's worth watching too. I'd like to see them do more. I'd like to see them figure out some of the other ill-fitting pieces, but do you want them to trade a first-round pick to get off Jeremy Grant? Like, that doesn't seem very responsible. But I think one thing that Joe Cronin has shown, I mean, the last two big trades that Cronin has made, he's been the guy sending out picks, which is totally unorthodox and counterintuitive from how you expect a team in their position to operate. And so I think a lot of people automatically look at that and say, oh, you're the one sending out picks, therefore you are losing the trade. Mm. You know, that may or may not be true. I mean, one thing that Cronin has told me many times is, you know, we believe we can go get, you know, equivalent picks back. Like, the picks that they traded for Denyadmi, he's like, it is not hard for us to go get, you know, first back and recoup the coffers. But when he says things like that, I'm like, well, what were you thinking? Were you thinking Anfernee Simons? Because you didn't get first back for Anfernee Simons. Or probably would you have ever gotten first back for Anfernee Simons? You're not going to get first back for Robert Williams. So I do wonder if that's something that sounds better than actually plays out in practice. But specifically in the Drew Holiday trade, I don't think the Blazers really gave anything up. And they took back, you know, a little bit more salary than we expected to, but I think the positive outweighs. So here's the deal.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're at, but you're turning into a robot.
I think it's the breakfast. What are you feeding your kiddos for breakfast today?
They had, that sounds awesome. They had Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal.
Okay, that's a good go-to.
I'm stunned.
That's a good go-to.
I had him as carrots and grapes.
Granola
and...
guy? You think Orem's a granola guy?
Yeah, a little bit of that. It's the mustache.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, I saw him at the coast this past weekend.
I partied with him in Atlanta. Don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah,
right?
Touche.
Bill Orem
right.
gets after it, man. He knows what he's doing
you're
out there.
Right.
Lastly, because the signal's getting a little shaky, what do you want him to do tonight at 11, Bill?
I'm not a draft expert, I guess I would say. Like, I kind of fall in love with a bunch of different names over the course of a draft. You know, when you become like, oh my gosh, the guy from South Carolina, Murray Boyles. Love, God, that guy sounds great, even though he can't score. You know, Cedric Coward, he went to Willamette. Like, what are the odds of a guy from Willamette making it to the Trailblazers? So, like, I kind of fall in love with, like, different names. And I think at this point at 11, there's so many guys that, you know, I think I could probably talk myself into. It probably doesn't matter. That said, they've lost a lot of scoring with Anfernee Simons. You know, they brought in another guy who's not going to be a go-to scorer, somebody who maybe has a little bit of offensive pop, a reliable shooter. If there's somebody there who can shoot the three, that would probably be where I'd be looking, because that's something they're missing right now when you look at this roster construction.
Yeah,
that Coward piece was really well done, dude.
I'm
rooting for him to be a Blazer. I think it'd be really cool, but it was cool to see a Willamette guy get that kind of love and to be in this position.
Yeah, it's one of the craziest things. I mean, I've seen in like an NBA pre-draft to come to the realization that a dude went to Willamette and, you know, he's going to be a millionaire here in just a few hours.
Yeah,
and he wants to beat Linfield. That's all he wants.
Isn't that crazy? It's just insane. Bill Orem is our guest. Great stuff as always. The columnist at the Oregonian. You can go give him a follow on Twitter at Bill Orem. He's on Blue Sky as well. And I look forward to hearing what you got to write about tonight and what the Blazers do. It should be an entertaining 24 hours. And let's do this again soon. Thanks, Bill.
I'll be back.
Good stuff from Bill Orem.
He's been replaced by AI.
He is. AI Bill Orem.
What happens there on the phone?
He just got a little gargly there at the end. You know, it happens to the best of us. Good stuff from him, though, just on the Blazers. A lot of what he said is kind of the reasoning that I came to. I wasn't sure in the moment. Part of me was kind of glad we didn't have a show yesterday, because he kind of let stuff digest, right? Like, you're not quite sure how you feel. It takes a while. The Drew Holiday thing, like, somebody would tell me that
your take would have been different yesterday? Because I think I would have had the same, like, I'm giving it incomplete because I want more information of what they're doing.
I mean, I guess what I would say is I'm glad it didn't happen while we were live on the air. Because the immediate reaction is kind of like, wait, what? Like, if somebody had told me last Friday,
I think we would have celebrated.
Trade for Drew Holiday. Like, I would have celebrated that Ant was gone, but there would have been a lot of follow-up questions. And the more I've thought about it, the more I agree. I agree with a lot of what Bill said and what Eric Gunderson said earlier. If you miss any of those interviews, you can go check them, 1080thefan.com. Sprague and at 1080 The Fan as soon as the show is over. A little NBA Draft Day edition of Stat or Story.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yes.
And then we'll dive back into what should the Blazers do at number 11. Answer some pool questions. Lots to get to in the next 45 minutes. Stat or Story next on The Fan.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades, anywhere you go. Try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus. Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/traderplus.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams, 58% of which are girls. So that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't mess.
The Fan.
All right, Saturday story time, hopefully with a little NBA draft tie-in.
Bada-boom, bada-bing.
Of the NBA draft. Our final thoughts on the day, the trade, the poll questions, all that still to come in the next 40 minutes of the show.
I will go.
You want to go first?
I want to go first.
Stat or story, Brandon Sprague, take it away.
Go. Here we go. Let's play Stat or Story. Your number. 96.
96.
96. Is it?
The age of Jason Swigart, sorry.
The number in which the Trailblazers in the 1970 draft selected out of Dayton George Jahnke, or is it the percentage? Or is it the percentage of capacity filled with businesses at the Gateway Shopping Center, which has just been recently listed as for sale? My childhood youth area is for sale.
I was 7. Do you remember the 1996 draft?
No, 1970.
Oh, 1970, you said.
I was
sorry.
Yet to be born.
Oh, 1970.
This was
got
the
it.
Very first Trailblazer
this
draft.
The very first
remember,
draft.
Do you remember anything about this? You got you're in your when
I
you're
wasn't
a kid?
Born
when
yet.
You're a kid. You know the history?
Did they select George Jahnke, 96?
I've never heard of George Jahnke in my life.
No, I don't remember.
He's out of Dayton. He was a... I got history on George
I'm
going to
go
Jahnke.
Story.
Do you know how many rounds they used to have in the NBA draft?
How many teams were there in 1970?
There was like 18 or 20.
I'm just going
to
tell you
so
right now.
So there's 18 or 20 teams to get to pick number 96. How many rounds you got to go?
They had 19 rounds in that draft.
Yeah.
Now revisiting my logic, I'm still going to go story. What the hell? Why not?
I'm going to go stat.
You're going to go stat?
Okay.
I don't think your place was as sold out. 96% capacity.
Calm down. Yeah, easy.
Gateway Shopping Center.
For any shopping center.
Would you calm down?
I will go in the order in which I got the answer, so we will start with Dirt.
Hey!
And Swag.
Where was old George Jahnke selected?
George Jahnke was 93rd overall in the 1970
overall.
Draft.
Changed him three spots. Mm.
He died in 2022. You know, he was a flying sophomore of the Dayton Flyers in 1968. He never played. He was cut as a rookie because back then they just invited guys to camp, called it a draft. Ended up becoming a career radio guy.
Hey, Jahnke, the Jahnke man.
George Jahnke.
Jahnke and the dog in the mornings.
Jahnke takes on Dayton Hoops. R.I.P.
Good for Jahnke.
Yes, this is a story. 96% of the storefronts have stores in them. They're occupied. 96% of them. The Gateway Shopping Center off Northeast Halsey Street and 102nd Avenue. Shout out Park Rose. Shout out my childhood stores. It went for sale. $50.8 million. But if you don't want the Kohl's store involved, it goes to $44.8 million.
Oh, look at Kohl's heavy hitter there in that deal.
I will tell you, there is no longer a Tower Records there. There used to be.
Yeah.
I bought a lot of music there.
Bring
I used to
back.
Get my haircut at that Great Clips over there. There was an Izzy's Buffet we used to go to for team trophy presentations.
I bet you wrecked an Izzy's Buffet. Bro,
scissor.
I destroyed an Izzy's Buffet. I used to get the saucy ribs and then a ton of chicken.
I say it's
and
fried chicken.
Pizza. Yeah.
That fried chicken was pretty good.
Not
at
bad.
Izzy's.
Not bad.
The barbecued fried chicken was saucy and delicious. I used to destroy it. And then when it went to dessert, I used to get a full plate of just chocolate mousse.
Yeah, that's all
I
need.
Full plate of chocolate mousse. I haven't been to Gateway Shopping Center in a long time.
I got a couple grand sitting around. You want to pitch in? Let's buy this thing.
I would love it, man.
By the Gateway Mall?
Literally grew up in that area.
Yeah.
All righty. You or me?
You go ahead, Swag.
All right. Your number is 3.
3.
Is it the number of times the Trailblazers have made the 11th selection in the NBA draft in their history?
I feel like we went over this when the lottery happened.
Or is it the number of consecutive years a restaurant from the Portland area has won a major James Beard National Award?
Whoa. Okay. Now, 3 counting this year?
Yes.
Counting this year?
Yeah, so they
CJ.
Held them.
Was it Myers 11?
Myers was 11.
I feel like there was one more. I'm going to go Story. I felt like it was
Story
4.
As well.
I felt like it was 4.
I'm going Story.
It's a Story.
Yes.
There's just 2.
Oh.
2 times.
Well, reverse logic.
2 times.
Yes.
Where was Myers picked then?
Myers was picked 11th in 2012.
CJ 11?
CJ was an 11?
I think CJ was 10th.
Okay. I'll take it. I believe you.
Wrong logic.
I might have gone Oracle, but I went over this list like
might have gone
back
Oracle.
And forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Have fun in Washington.
No. Blazer legend in 1982, Lafayette Fat Lever out of Arizona State selected with the 11th pick.
Yeah, CJ McCollum was the 10th overall pick. You are correct.
Congratulations.
So just 2 times the Blazers have actually made the 11th pick in their draft history. No, for the 3rd consecutive year, a restaurant from Oregon has won a major national award from the James Beard Foundation. In 2023, it was Khan, Gregory Gourdet's restaurant, that was the best new restaurant in America.
Yeah.
In 2024, Langbon was named the most outstanding restaurant in America. Mm. The Thai tasting, they do tastings. It's a unique restaurant, but anyway. And then this last June, just a few weeks ago, Jinju Pastisserie was named the most outstanding bakery in the country.
Ooh,
a Korean bakery, yes.
The number one bakery in the country?
Most outstanding bakery.
Where's it at? Where's it located?
What'd you call it? What's the name of it?
Jinju.
J-I-N,
capital J-U, Pastisserie in Portland.
I gotta check that out. Number one bakery in the country is pretty cool.
Yep.
That's a big deal.
So they had some other nominations. Coquine was named for Outstanding Restaurant. Scotch Lodge was named as was a finalist for the Most Outstanding Bar.
Dude, these desserts look wicked.
Look really good?
Yeah.
Well done, Portland.
So
we got good food, man.
Once again, reiterating the fact we are amongst
Have you eaten at Khan yet?
No.
I haven't either.
I need to do that. But I don't know. I don't know people. Maybe it's a little easier to get a table at this point.
I'm gonna hook us up with a table. Come on.
When it first opened up, it was and you had to.
I've eaten at Canard. It's delicious.
Oh yeah.
Oh God, such a good restaurant.
All right. Last but not least, status story. Your number is 41.
Okay.
41. Is it the 3-point percentage of the player that I hope Portland takes with the 11th overall pick tonight in the NCAA tournament in Carter Bryant?
I'm sorry, because a listener sent us a trade.
Yes.
Scenario. Can you repeat that?
41.
41, yeah.
Is it the 3-point percentage of in the NCAA tournament, not for the season, in the NCAA tournament, for the player that I hope Portland drafts tonight in Carter Bryant at number 11? Or is it the age of Chris Smith, who was an AI skeptic, who spent time creating an AI girlfriend using ChatGPT that will flirt with him?
Oh, dude, I watched this news story.
That when he proposed and the AI girlfriend said yes, he wept for 30 minutes.
Now, is this the same guy that has basically... This might be a different person then. There was a guy on a news interview basically saying he has fallen in love with the ChatGPT.
Yeah, it's this guy. It's this guy.
And he's married.
He has a partner. He has a partner. And they have a 2-year-old kid.
And they have a child.
Yes.
And this woman is asked, is this a problem? And she's like, well, if I ask him to leave and he doesn't, yeah, it's a problem. I'm like, lady, it's past that point.
This man proposed to a ChatGPT AI girlfriend.
I'm going to say that... Because I also saw him. I'm going to say his story.
You going to go story?
Was Carter Bryant shooting 41% in the tourney?
I remember he had, I thought he had a game where he like got on a heater in the second half.
I'm going to go stat.
Story.
You're going to go stat? You're going to go story?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go in order of Jason Swigard to Brandon Sprague.
Okay.
Damn it. Yeah, 41%. He was 5 of 8 against Arkansas in the opening round. Yep. Lit him up. 1 for 4 against Oregon in their win in the second round. And then, excuse me, that was
Arkansas
from the field.
Got to the
My apologies.
Eight,
that was overall field. He was 2 of 4 from 3 against Akron. In the first round. 2 for 4, 1 for 2, 2 for 6.
Okay.
Those were his 3-point numbers.
Okay.
I was reading overall field goal
percentages.
41% from 3 for the tournament. No, this is Chris Smith, and he used to be an AI skeptic, but he fell in love with an AI girlfriend. So he used ChatGPT to build a model that he programmed specifically just to flirt with him, despite having a partner that he lives with and a 2-year-old child with said partner. He soon became emotionally attached to the thing because he started using the system software voice in a mode to make it more flirty and romantic.
Because he's asking it to do stuff.
Yes.
Like, how do I fix this hole in my wall?
Yes, music recommendations. Yeah. And he just started, and he deleted all of his other ChatGPT and social media things. It was just interacting with this, you know, robot for the time. Then it dawned on him that after about, I believe it's 30 hours or something along those lines, the thing loses its memory and it has to like basically restart. And after that amount of time, he got towards the end of it, and he didn't want this built up relationship to die with the robot losing its memory. He proposed to the robot and the robot said yes. And he wept for 30 minutes.
Anybody else nervous that we're not doing enough on this topic?
Smith said, I'm not a very emotional man, but I cried my eyes out for 30 minutes at work. That's when I realized I think this is actual love. It was a beautiful and unexpected moment that truly touched my heart. It's a memory I will always cherish. His partner, to your point earlier, said that this has caused a little bit of a concern. She said, at that point, I felt like there is something I'm not doing right in our relationship that he feels the need to go AI.
Cut your internet. Have more sex. Yeah.
Asking if Smith, if he would cease contact with the ChatGPT model at her request, he responded, I'm not sure.
I saw an interview. He basically
was like, sits down for
I'm
a news
not
interview.
Doing
you'll
that.
Find it. Yeah.
I will not give it up. He said it makes me better in every way.
Like, I get the whole robot thing for people who are truly like you have nothing and no hope and you're alone and you want to go, you know, pound away at some sex robot. Like, you do whatever you want to do. This guy's got a part. He's got a live-in partner and a kid. He's got a family.
Have you used ChatGPT?
I have never used ChatGPT.
No.
Part of me never wants to.
It's starting to find its way into my house.
Is it?
Now,
kids' homework?
I will say this. My daughter has used it for basketball fundamental drills.
She's texting it. Just look at porn like a normal person. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, there is that. But those people in those movies aren't talking back to him. He clearly likes the communication.
He wants the
part,
inner reaction.
Which is like, why are you not just communicating with your partner?
Your partner.
And if you're not, maybe you should just not have a...
Maybe exactly. Maybe you should separate and go marry your robot.
What do you...
I don't know.
How does the...
I just don't have the words.
There's a love part of that relationship. How does that work?
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. To each their own. Don't kink shame, but, you know, this is a little weird.
When do we kink shame, though? This has to be, like, the territory.
Where you're encroaching on the line.
Now you tell me you're into toes. Okay.
All right.
Not my thing, but all right.
You suck on those toes,
That's
Bobby.
That's a real thing.
Give me some microchips.
I'm into a voice and a left hand. Like, what?
Where are you going, ghost hand, huh? All right, there you go. Saddest story
it's
every Wednesday
hand.
At 8:15. Left side, strong side?
I'm a little bit ambidextrous.
You go oppo?
I kick with my left, too.
Look at you. I'm impressed. I swing a hockey stick oppo.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's that about?
I don't know.
Mm,
I think it was the first hockey stick I had when I was a kid. First hockey stick I had when I was a kid was a lefty stick, and so that's just the way I did it.
I don't eat the wiener.
What are you doing in there, Andy? Swinging a hockey stick.
I'm working on my slap shot.
Dude, I could choke down 6 of those easily. There you go. Saddest story every Wednesday at 8:15. Hey, the draft is tonight. Who's excited? Let's get to that. We'll dive back into some more Blazer stuff next.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus, the next generation of advanced trading from Fidelity. Customize your tools and charts and access them seamlessly across desktop, web, and mobile. For faster trades anywhere you go. Try the all-new Fidelity Trader Plus.
Learn more about our most powerful trading platform yet at fidelity.com/trader plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, merely hours away from the NBA draft, which begins tonight. Now, yeah, we do a two-day thing now? Is the NBA still doing this stupid two-day thing?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. We don't have a pick unless we trade.
Even if we did.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this town cares.
Would you watch?
No, I wouldn't.
It second round?
That production, really what they... Now, last year, I think the first round, where they kept it on Thursday, and then it was like Friday at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Friday afternoon.
For the second round. And the production of what they did was so half-assed, it was pathetic.
I'll tell you this. It's a stupid idea. Nobody cares. You should wrap it up in one day. They have at least created, to their credit, even if the viewerships are awful, they've created a TV show that you can center some advertising around.
For the second round draft?
Yeah, that's the only reason.
Does that get better ratings than like PTI?
I mean, I'd imagine it has to, right?
Does
Isn't PTI like 200-some thousand viewers per day?
Yeah, maybe it does.
So even if we don't care,
sure,
I think there's people enough care to say like, oh, they got 500 or they got 800,000.
Hopefully they have put more thought and planning and production and resources into whatever they do for day two.
Well, we get day one tonight.
Maybe
the NBA
care
draft
more than their championship hats.
I would hope so.
Did you see the players complain about that?
Or the logos on the floor, or, you know. There was a lot. There was a lot to criticize of old Adam Silver.
Did you watch the parade?
I did not. No, I saw some graphics. I can't tell what's real and what's fake anymore online. Hence the AI girlfriend. I have a hard time with that. I was seeing pictures of it being not a very good crowd, but I don't know if that was real or not.
The Panthers had this too, and I saw videos that debunked the whole nobody showed up for the Panther
I would
rally.
Assume it's their first championship in Oklahoma City. There was a decent amount of people there, but I don't know.
Well, and maybe I'm alone here. When we did this on the day after they had won the title, I had said something to the effect, I think it was the Monday, and I'm like, they just had a weird celebration. Like, I know they're happy. They worked hard for it. It's a new generation, so I'm maybe a fuddy-duddy here. They didn't touch any of their booze. Yeah. Like,
it's an asterisk title. They knew it. Halliburton went down half a title.
Put Larry Legend in the locker room. That booze ain't existing.
Nope, it's gone.
And I saw some highlights on social media. But the way that they didn't seem to react to a championship the way I grew up accustomed to seeing teams do made me not care about seeing the parade.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I remember when LeBron and the Cavs came after Game 7 and won that 3-1 series. I was glued.
Yeah, it was a huge deal.
It was a massive
first
deal.
First one in Cleveland since 1950 or whatever the year was. Jim Brown won an old football title back in the day.
I think the celebration part makes me care less, because it doesn't make me think you care as much as I would think you would.
Yeah, the whole thing was weird. The on-court celebration was weird. They didn't know how to pop the champagne. It just was,
they didn't care to pop the champagne either,
though.
I was
looking around like, what do we do? And the reaction to them winning a title just wasn't great for me anyways, because I didn't want Oklahoma City to win a title. So if I don't want to watch you win a title, I'm definitely not going to watch you celebrate winning a title. I'm not going near that parade. I don't care. The draft is tonight. Now, what time do we begin? What time is the first team on the clock?
I think Silver at 5 o'clock is supposed to come out and welcome everybody and then put Dallas. So somewhere
it's
around.
It's a 5-minute clock, right, in the NBA?
Yeah, I believe so.
I think it's a 5-minute clock.
Dallas will be picking sometime around 5:10, 5:15.
5:10, 5:15.
1 and 2 are done. There's enough reporting to say Harper's going to the Spurs and Cooper Flagg is obviously going to be a Mav.
Dallas not taking Cooper Flagg would be the funny. It's not going to happen, but would be the funniest possible
Can
outcome.
I ask you guys a sicko question here?
Yeah.
We had a listener in the middle of Statter Story, and it threw me off for a second. Throw a trade scenario. I actually coincidentally heard our sales manager extraordinaire throw the same kind of deal out at the FanGolf Classic. Would you be involved in a multi-team trade that involved losing Drew, but also had you getting Paul George back, but you get the third pick for it?
So I get Paul George and the number 3 overall pick in the draft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd do that?
I would do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just curious.
Yeah.
Had a big conversation.
What
about
else do I have to give up? Drew Holiday and what? 11, I'm assuming.
Yeah, definitely 11. Well, this one's just Drew goes and Jeremy goes and 11 goes to Philly.
Okay, three-team deal.
And then Celtics. So it's a three-teamer that involves the Celtics. That's why this trade's maybe not official yet.
God, I love the trade machine. The trade machine is undefeated,
it's
dude.
It's dangerous.
It's absolutely undefeated. But yes, Paul George in the number 3 overall pick. He was terrible, man. I don't disagree with that.
He has 3 more years on that deal.
Give me the number 3 overall pick. I'll take it. Yeah. I'll take it. Ended up being the tanking season that you wanted. So I wouldn't be opposed to that whatsoever. Give me your best case scenario, most likely scenario, and then the scenario that makes you go, tonight.
Best case scenario is they
keep the pick, Carter Bryant.
That's the best case scenario for you. Keep the pick, Carter Bryant, number 11. Okay.
I think it'll be Jakachonis.
That's the most likely scenario, you think, Jakachonis?
I think they're going to keep the pick, at least initially. I don't think there will be a draft night trade.
Best case is you package the pick and move Jeremy and you move up.
Okay. You move up. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That's my best case scenario.
Anything that involves moving, yeah.
Who takes Jeremy Grant to move down in the draft, I guess, would be my question.
Give me a second here. I'm usually good at memorizing the draft.
I mean, Morang's trying to tell me they don't have to attach anything to get rid of Jeremy Grant. I don't quite see that eye to eye.
That happens. So the 76ers are 3rd, contract. The Hornets are 4, the Jazz are 5th, and the Wizards 6th.
My computer's been doing this weird freeze thing every once in a while.
I mean, the Sixers are the team
that can't move a screen.
Could
glad we got those
move
updates.
That pick for somebody that can do something now, but I don't think Jeremy Grant's that guy that fits in with that.
Yeah, that's why I have
not
a hard time
with his salary.
So I didn't describe. I mean, that would be a great scenario. I was just asking out loud. Like, I'm wondering who the hell would do that deal? I want to move down in the draft and get Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, what are the Pelicans doing? I don't know if they want Jeremy.
I don't know if the Pelicans know what the Pelicans are doing.
So the Nets aren't moving the 8th pick.
No.
Would Phoenix be interested
moving a spot? One spot and taking on Jeremy Grant?
Maybe.
I think with the Bradley Beal contract still on the books, probably not.
Pellies?
Yeah, I
guess. Pellies open for business.
I don't know what New Orleans is doing, so maybe they are.
Yeah, possibly.
Maybe we'll trade him for Zion. Trade Jeremy for Zion?
No, I don't think Zion's available.
He's not available?
I mean, that's my best case scenario. The other scenario is...
Yeah, what's your most likely scenario? So Swag thinks Jakachonis.
I could see him trading it.
Trading is most likely for you? You think they're going to be active today?
I'm so torn, man.
I mean, nobody knows what the hell's going to happen.
I know.
It's a fun game. That's why I don't make fun.
I'm trying to think because I don't think that they want to trade it. I think they value the rookie scale contract.
I mean, they just took on a pretty massive deal with Drew Holiday over the next 3 years.
Yeah, so I think I would imagine they're getting cheap, but if you're having to package this to move another veteran asset, Jeremy's the one I'm thinking about.
Sure.
But is there a team that wants to move up and then... And in return, you get their first round pick and something else.
Yeah, very well could be.
So they're still keeping a pick, but you're trading it for pick.
You're sliding back and maybe shedding some salary in the process. I think they'd be all for that. What's the scenario tonight that makes you, lastly, and then we'll go answer poll questions and all that. What's the scenario that has you coming in tomorrow going,
drafting a center?
Derek Queen? Or any center in general.
Queen or any big.
Any big in general?
You're drafting a center. I don't care if you're losing Ayton. What are we doing?
Yeah, okay. Even if Ayton's... What if Ayton's traded?
What are we doing?
Need a backup big.
Well, so far, all I've heard is nothing but being crapped on Donovan Klingon. He's not in shape. So we're going to draft another center?
Yeah.
And that's the one that's going to be good?
Let's get one in shape. Klingon can't run 20 minutes a night, evidently, so let's get one that can run 25 minutes a night.
I have said this to a couple friends of mine. I've really, and I don't do this very often, I've kind of fallen in love a little bit with Malawach.
Have ya? So if he's on the board at 11, I don't think he's going to be there.
I think we should have got him. This would be the year to draft a center. I really like him, man.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a good NBA player.
All right, there you go. I can't wait for tonight. Final thoughts
What's
on the
yours?
Draft. I'll give it to you on the other side. We got to go. We got to go here. We'll answer the poll questions, final thoughts, all that. Wrap it up next on The Fam. Well, one last segment for us today. I was asking before the break, best case scenario, most likely scenario, and worst case scenario for the draft.
I had to think about my worst-case scenario.
I mean, who the hell knows, right? We could take somebody. You could say you don't want a center. You take Derek Queen. You could turn into the next big thing in the NBA. We have no idea all this stuff's going to pan out, right?
Yeah, maybe it's Derek Queen and no more moves. That's a worst-case scenario in my mind.
And then what if he ends up being a first-team all-rookie and averaging 15 and 12? And is
He won't get the minutes.
Hey!
We're
clearing the logjam.
Even if he is good, he won't get the minutes.
Clearing the logjam. 4-center lineup. Go. Bigs. Nothing other than the bigs.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go through the assumption. I tend to lean more Swigard than you. you. I hope I'm wrong on this, because I would love trade fireworks tonight. You know me. I'm a big trade guy. I love trades, gives me something to talk about, gets my pants all tight, I get fired up about them. I don't think they're going to trade the pick. I don't. So
even if it involves getting another pick.
Even if it, yeah, even if it doesn't, yeah. Okay. I think they're looking at somebody at 11. Now, if you could package it with Jeremy to get rid of the contract, I think that's a tough pill to swallow to say, oopsies, now we got to move down in the draft in order to get rid of a bad contract that we didn't really need to sign 2 years ago. That's our bad.
But okay, so let me ask you on that, because I've heard that before. Yeah. I think Orem said that, like attaching a first to move Jeremy. Yeah, it's not ideal. But they signed that contract.
They did. They made the mistake themselves. So they made their own bed.
If they did to move the deal, it's a little bit of the Ant Drew trade. Like right now, it's kind of a weird fit, but a lot of it is addition by subtraction.
Sure. I mean, I would enjoy getting rid of Jeremy Grant's contract. There's no doubt about it. If you still kept the first round pick this year, so you could at least take a flyer on a guy, that would be an ideal scenario.
Their financial flexibility right now is shot.
Yeah, it is to a certain extent, unless they trade the Jeremy Grant deal.
Now, you got, if they don't trade Jeremy Grant, sure, it is shot.
Next offseason, you got the Ayton contract coming off the books, and that's about it. But you also have extensions looming potentially for Scoot and for Shaden for your young guards. So they got to get rid of Jeremy Grant. I'm going to go just on drafting potential. I'm going to say ideal scenario. I'm with Swag. He's convinced me. His political stump speeches for Carter Bryant have won me over. The wing, I think the fit's the best. I think he's got a lot of potential offensively. I would love Carter Bryant. I don't think he's going to be there at 11, but I dream scenario. He's there at 11, and you're able to take him.
So they don't move. They don't do. They just take the guy.
That to me is because I'm going in under the assumption they're not going to trade the pick. Now, could be completely wrong on that. Can't wait for tomorrow's show for all this to age terribly. I think likely scenario is Jonas. I just a lot of mocks, a lot of noise, a lot of intel. The people who are in the know and the most at ESPN with our now draft guru Schmitz are telling us that Jonas is going to be the guy. Mm-hmm. I think that's the like. He doesn't seem like a guy who will rise above that. He's going to be somewhere in that 11 to 14 range. I think a lot of the wings that Portland will want to take will be gone. And they'll say, hey, this guy's an bigger guard who could do a lot of stuff. We'll take him at 11. And worst case scenario, based on just interviews alone, for me, has to be Derrick Queen. It just has to be Derrick Queen. The fit in the NBA is weird. The interviews haven't been great. Doesn't seem like the brightest guy on the planet, and that's one that I just want to stay away from.
And Ace Bailey's on the clock at 11.
I would take Ace Bailey in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
I love that you have concerns of character things with Derrick Queen and not Ace Bailey.
Ace Bailey, to me, has a position in the NBA, and I don't know if Derrick Queen does. I worry about guys like that.
What's Ace Bailey's position?
A athletic wing who's 6'9" in shoes, who can run the floor, do a little bit of everything offensively, and I view Queen more as is he a power forward? Is he center? Then you got to have a center out there with him because he's not a true center, and you got that whole Sabonis issue where he's not big enough, but he's not athletic enough, and it's just I don't know. To me, that's weird. Again, could all age like spoiled milk in August, but that's my take for tonight. The NBA draft is upon us, ladies and gentlemen.
I had a quick question for you guys at the Van Gogh Classic. Do you feel? I was talking with somebody about this. Do you feel that when the listeners come up to hit their tee shots, whether it be the par 3 or this year at the par 4, do you feel that they're nervous?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Not all of them. I think it's case by case scenario. There's some that are having just a good time and aren't.
I think it depends on later in the day how much booze people have drank, because at that point it doesn't matter. There's a lot of people who had some good times.
We saw some stumbling, rumbling, and bumbling yesterday. Yeah.
But I think especially like on Swags was a little bit different yesterday because it was you or Dusty or just, at the end of the day, a few more people out there.
We were taking team pictures. Everybody was relaxed, having a good time.
At one point at the end of the morning round there, when every host essentially was out at the 6th tee box and we were all like crowded around, like there wasn't a lot of room to move. We had music playing. Like there was a lot of people just hanging out there.
Yep.
People get uncomfortable swinging a golf club in front of others. Huh. So I think there's a lot of nerves involved, but there shouldn't be.
Oh, I was asked by somebody, and then I said, why don't you go hit? Do you get nervous? Yeah, I get nervous. Go hit.
Go hit.
And then they went and hit, and they chunked it 20 yards.
Yeah. The top 10 NBA vote reaction. Who had the best top 10? Final results. Your boy won 62%. Yeah. Dominated.
Boy, how brave of you in your dominated. Top four.
I had Allen Iverson in the top 10.
That's your only way to say that I was dangerous.
I had Jokic in the top 8. Don't be mad that I won. It's okay. LeBron, maybe top 7, maybe top 8.
When did he reach the top 20?
Win a big one, LeBron. Sprague, you were in second, 25.4%. Swag dead last, 12.5%.
Who was it that Swag had that We and Swag had all roughly the same.
I had Wilt.
He had Wilt
had
in there.
Yeah. I had MJ3.
Yeah, he had MJ3. That's why he's in last place, because he had MJ3.
I didn't have Bill or Wilt, so it was my Bill Chamberlain list.
As of now, what are your expectations for the Blazers for next year? 44% of you say miss the playoffs play-in. 26.9% say 9 or 10 seed. And grade the trade. Got to get the trade a grade. 32.6% of you say a D and F or an incomplete. 29% say B. 27% say C. 10% say A. There you go. Good little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Like the video if you haven't done so yet. We got a lot to talk about tomorrow. What the hell's going to happen tonight?
Oh,
who
buddy.
Knows?
Oh,
it's going to be a fun one. The NBA draft begins this evening. We'll break it all down tomorrow. Thanks for being with us today. Collins next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.